This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is soda number 214. The RIP in peace, Bart Durham of Sodes.
Oh, no.
The injury attorney of Nashville lore, dead at the age of 89. That Sode title comes via me. I was shooketh to my core when I heard that news. A very sad one. Very tough pill to swallow. And right before O.J. Simpson died, too. So, tough week for people that have spent a lot of time in courtrooms.
Oh, wow. There it is.
What?
R.I.P. Bart Durham. That's hilarious. That's a great time. R.I.P. Bart Durham. I mean, his face was plastered everywhere on every single bus I ever saw in Nashville.
Oh, every commercial break that features Bart Durham's face at some point. I liked later on in the years when he started like starring in his commercials, when he was like probably a little too old to be starring in his commercials. Mm-hmm. And he would like just appear in someone's backseat. And it's like, okay, you can't just do that creepy old
thing. Yeah, like, it got a little jump scary towards the end.
Yeah, Bart, your face looks a little too leathery to just be appearing in people's faces like that. All right, what is this? Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Okay, but seriously, thoughts and prayers to the Durham family. Bart Durham was a Nashville icon and
of course,
it sucks that he's gone.
A legend of Nashville lore. You know, he's right on there. He's up there on the Mount Rushmore of Nashville lore with Snowbird, Demetria Kalademos, and
Demetria's Closet.
And I'd say Big Joe.
I was going to say Big Joe might be getting close to being on that list.
Yeah. Maybe Batman, just for the building. Throw him up on the... I don't know. Anyway, we have got a fantastic Sode. If you want incredible comps, you came to the right Sode. Because we got Mr. Stoney Keeley from the Sode Bros Network on. And we had Stoney Keeley on around this time last year. But we had tremendous technical difficulties to the point where I believe the footage of what we recorded last year was lost, and it was fantastic last year. This year,
oh my God,
might be even better. Like this year, Stoney has been going in depth. He has been in a lab for the last 4 months, literally looking up information on every single draft prospect, putting together an incredible in-depth draft analysis of every prospect you could pretty much imagine. And that is going to be coming out to Stacking the Inbox with Zach Lyons very soon. And he's going to give us a little bit of what we can expect from that and a little bit of what we can expect the Titans to do at Seffin, or if they trade back, who we could expect to see land in Two-Tone Blue. It's as mock drafty of an interview as we can get. And the only reason I say that is because I know everyone, except for me, apparently, loves mock drafts. But
in defense of the interview, like this, like talking draft can get boring and monotonous. This is not that. Stoney Keeley brought it. He made it different and entertaining. I promise you guys, if y'all have any questions about the draft, Stoney's going to answer them here in about 5 minutes. It is I had the best time talking draft to Stoney Keeley because, you know, you can tune into the local radio stations. You can tune into ESPN and get your little updates who's the sleeper here.
Blah, blah, blah.
Stoney made it fun. And I think you guys are going to really like it.
I'm actually glad you said that, Jack, because you guys, if you listen to this podcast, you know how much I absolutely hate and despise mock drafts. I love this interview with Stoney Keeley. I legitimately do love it. So, let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and get to it. We're also going to get into a little talk about Ryan Stonehouse, maybe a stoner update after Stoney.
Birds with one stone?
No. We're going to be killing lots of birds with two stones. How about that? With this sowed.
I love it. But first,
send us your sowed titles at Tighten Up Pod. I came up with a sowed title today because I think we are fresh out. And we've got some in the past that we did not get to. Look, we're not the most organized podcast in the world. Okay. Hands up, hand raised. But send us your sowed titles this week at Tighten Up Pod. Send them to us, and we are going to conduct a list. And we're going to not ask for new sow titles until that list is complete. So get in, get us your sow title, and then next week even is when your sow title could be read at Tighten Up Pod on Twitter or Tighten Up Podcast on Instagram. But Jack, before we get to Stoney Keeley, before we get to this amazing podcast, we first got to get a word from our friends at BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A-Z Sports and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, which has draft props up right now, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
And with that said, let's talk Titan.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome into the Tighten Up Podcast. Today is April 17th, 2024, and we are joined now by a man with the greatest name in the business, a guy who is absolutely grinding. It's former uncle, right? Do I have that correct? Because I know we recorded something with him before, but did it ever make it to air? Because I know we had technical difficulties.
Long lost uncle, I think, is what we should call this. Because we did. Okay. We sat down with Stoney for probably 30 minutes.
And it was awesome. It was so much fun.
And the conversion process during that, we lost audio, and we could never upload it. But we had much fun the last time, so we had to bring it back.
I think that just makes it more precious because that is time that only the three of us can treasure.
It is like the lost tapes, like the lost scrolls. Those will forever go down in podcast lore. I don't want to overhype it, oversell it, but it was probably the greatest 30 to 40 minutes of podcasting history that we made last year. So we're going to try and recreate that this year. And we got Stoney on, and Stoney does tremendous work with Sobros Network. And I'm not just saying that to suck up because we won Best Nashville Sports Podcast and Best Nashville Sports Podcast to not be nominated for Best Nashville Sports Podcast. But I am saying that because this guy does so much homework, the ins and the outs. Got a complete preview and draft preview of like every prospect you could even imagine, even guys that I don't even think are in the NFL. In fact, I think they went through every prospect twice over, and they were like, "Well, what do we do now?" And I think they threw in a few hockey prospects in there as well. Like that's just how extensive this draft thing is. It's with Stacking the Inbox, obviously our guy Zach Lyons, who we are bitter rivals with from F Words Pod. But Stoney is here to join us. So Stoney, and I would be remiss if I did not start here, okay, with everything. And we're going to get to a lot, but we need to know, like, you know prospects in and out. You know what it takes for them to be great. You know what it takes for them to be highly rated and highly sought after. So I have to ask, What do we need to do as the Tighten Up podcast to get rated and onto the big board of Jake Robertson, who listed all of the best Titans content creators around and failed to mention the Tighten Up podcast?
Yeah, that was a tough scene from our boy Jake, man. Jake does some pretty good work, but he had like 80 people on that list, and I didn't see either of you guys. I didn't see the Tighten Up account. I don't know what kind of vendetta Jake has against you guys, but maybe, you know what? I like Jake. I like to think I'm on good terms with Jake. Yeah. Let me see. I think
everyone is, honestly, except for us. I don't know.
Let me see if I can bridge this gap, boys. Let me see if I can put my diplomat hat on and just try to be an ambassador.
The mediator. Yeah, I like this.
I mean, because there were some guys on that list that don't even, like, you could argue don't even make content, you know, in terms of, the Tennessee Titans. And so, like, do we need to, like, up our rep count? Like, do we need to, get in the weight room?
Do we need to get
our 40 times
move
up?
New Jersey?
What do we need to put on tape to get people to recognize the Tighten Up podcast? Because I thought here, being the best sports podcast, national sports podcast, as voted on by So Bros Network,
that
was enough. But yeah.
You know what it is? It's the relative athletic score. We all know that an RAS of 8 or higher is what gets you in the door. It's a good measure, good metric to track for sustained success at the next level. So that's what we need to work on. We need to get in the gym, get that RAS up.
Jack texted me after we were tweeting about it from the at Tighten Up Pod account, and Jack started blaming me. This actually created turmoil within the podcast because Jake's list worked.
Because it turned out
Jack was like, "This is all your fault, Austin." And I was like, "What the hell did I do?" And he was like, "It's your stance against mock drafts, because I am so anti mock draft. I'm so against them, and just I think it's a complete, waste of time and everything. No offense to both of you, because I know both of you love mock drafts. He was like, "Your stance is why we didn't even get any recognition whatsoever."
Mm-hmm. You know what I think it might be? I think Jake might be threatened by you guys and all the awards in the trophy case. And maybe he's like, you know what? If I leave him off this list, it'll pit them against one another. They'll implode. And that's one less competitor that I've got to worry about.
That's smart. What it was. If he thought of it that way, that's a chess move.
It's
like Titans
podcast succession.
The game of podcasts. You're right, Stoney. Hey, RAS, since we're on the topic, let's just go ahead and get into this thing. Because I know that you're in draft mode right now. You're Nashville's native draft wizard. We're happy to have you on here. I want to know, Stoney, what is your most ideal scenario for the Titans on Thursday night? Is it stick at 7? Is it trade back and gain more picks, more darts to throw at the board? Is there a prospect you hope falls to the Titans at that 7 spot? What is the most ideal circumstance for Stoney Keeley when it comes to the Titans' 7th overall pick?
I'm a big trade back guy. You said more darts to throw. I really like that. I also like the Chip Kelly offense at Oregon, where he was like so focused on number of plays because it increased your opportunities to score touchdowns. That's what I want, baby. Give me more draft picks. I mean, within a certain reasonable limit, like don't trade your first round pick to move back and pick up the 7th you gave for Leroy Watson or anything like that. I don't want to twist this knife, but maybe don't send your all pro caliber wide receiver to Philadelphia to swap, for a first and a third or something like that. Wow. But if you can pick up, if you can move back just a little bit in the first round and maybe pick up an extra 2-3 day two picks, round two, round three, I'm all for it, man, because I think this is a good draft to have the needs that they have. And I think they're going to be able to get some value in the later rounds of this draft with guys that either have the athletic traits to be coached up and to be role players, or guys that I think have the experience to start in the NFL. I think it's a good year to do it. And honestly, I don't think there are that many blue chip prospects in this draft as the big draft media seems to think as well. So I think there's a good chance they could stick and pick at seven and still not have their offensive tackle or their wide receiver of choice.
Really? Okay. Now, when we're talking trade back, you know, the Buffalo Bills at 28 are going to need a receiver. They're probably going to try and move up, but there's teams in the teens that also need a quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, whatever it may be, that might jump up to seven or might be interested. We've already seen the Raiders put out calls. I mean, they put out calls before this thing even got going. How far back is too far back in a trade back for the Titans?
You know, I wouldn't want to go back into, you mentioned Buffalo there at 28. I wouldn't want to go back that far. Like if you can get back into that like 11 to 18 range, depending on the other compensation, I'm cool with it. But I do think there is a point in this draft where the first round talent kind of falls off a cliff, and it is right there around that 20 to 21 mark for me. So I would still want to get somebody that is a relatively safe high floor prospect. And I think to do that, you do have to have a top 20 pick this year.
Yes, because we know the Titans' history of picking in the 20s lately has been a little shaky, right?
Yeah. To say the least.
Farley, Isaiah Wilson, you go all the way back, and Kenny Britt, Kendall Wright are a couple more guys that have been thrown in there. Rashawn Evans, I believe, was in the mix. None of those dudes are in a second contract. So it hadn't gone well for the Titans when they're picking in the 20s. But, you know, if the Titans do move back, that means they're going to miss out on the two guys that a lot of people have circled for the Titans, which are Malik Nabers and Joe Alt, two guys that the Titans have met with multiple times. So if Tennessee opts to move back in that 11 to 18 range, who is a guy or a couple of guys they should be looking at?
Not a very popular name, but I'm a big fan of J.C. Latham. I think he's rock steady. I think he's the most powerful offensive tackle in this class. Really strong grip strength. He can come in and play on the right side week one. I think there are some issues with his footwork where he kind of gets tangled up sometimes, and maybe a more seasoned, experienced pass rusher can take advantage of that and knock him off balance. But I think at Alabama, he was able to get by with it because he's just so strong and girthy that even when guys try to punch him off balance, they're unsuccessful at it. I like him a lot. I like Tali Fuanga a lot as well. I mean, pure violence with his hands, another right tackle. Both of those guys, along with Amarius Mims out of Georgia, who is an athletic freak that probably has the highest ceiling of any of the offensive tackles in this class, all three of those guys are right tackles that have said at one point or another throughout this process they would be comfortable switching to the left side. Personally, I'm not a big proponent of that. I know that it's worked. There are cases of it working, and the Titans do have Bill Callahan, who is considered one of the best, if not the best, offensive line coach in the NFL. But I kind of want where the Titans are at right now, I don't want to be tweaking and tinkering with things too much. Like if they played right tackle in college, play him at right tackle in the pros for now. I think, you know, people are overthinking Olu Fashanu quite a bit as well. It sounds like he might slide into the teens for some reason. I don't know. People are freaking out because of his little baby hands. He's got like Kenny Pickett sized hands. But I don't know how that impacts the offensive tackle, because I don't think it impacts grip strength necessarily. And it doesn't look like an issue that pops up on the tape for me. So I would be happy with any of Fuanga, Fashanu, or Latham. If you're looking at receiver, I'm a big Roma Dunze fan. He's my favorite player in this entire draft.
Really?
I don't think he's going to fall to the teens. But if he were there, say they only move back to like 10 or 11, and four quarterbacks do go in the top 10, like there are some whispers about, man, I'd be doing cartwheels if they could land him as well.
Grip strength and girth are a couple. I know Austin's at full attention right now. And I know
you guys are getting me all hot and bothered, obviously, with all this talk. Maybe I should get into the draft a little bit more.
But yeah. Stoney, you named just about every first round tackle aside from Joe Alt. Is it a Joe Alt issue that has you wanting to move back, or is it, you know, is it something else? Why not Joe Alt?
I don't think that he's going to be there at seven for the Titans to pick.
Really? Okay.
Because I would not be surprised. There have been, throughout this entire process, there have been rumblings that the Saints were looking to trade up to get him, that maybe he was that caliber of an offensive tackle that a team right there in the 10 to 15 range that didn't want to risk missing out, they're just, you know, a left tackle away, they would trade up, do what it took to get up to five to get him. There's been a lot of talk that Jim Harbaugh wants an offensive tackle. The Chargers have been linked to J.C. Latham recently. He does kind of look like a Harbaugh tackle, but I also think that Joe Alt could be in play for them, where, you know, it doesn't look like there's a clear need at left tackle right now. But if you start doing the math and you think about the future for the Chargers, you can slide Joe Alt in at left guard to play his rookie year. And if he's good, you can kick him out to left tackle, and then you won't have to pay Rashawn Slater the massive contract that he's going to require because he's a good left tackle. So that's the piece that I feel like a lot of people are missing when they say, oh, but the Chargers already have a left tackle. Well, you can move some things around to make sense for Joe Alt to be the pick in LA. But I also don't think people should rule out New England going for Joe Alt. They need a tackle. They've got the pick right there at number three. I don't think it would be a reach at all. He's my favorite offensive lineman in this class. At this stage, I think people are getting too cute with the quarterbacks. I don't see four quarterbacks going with the first four picks. And I think this is going to be one of those surprises on draft night where everybody was sleeping a little too much on Joe Alt. And I think he's going to go pretty high in this class.
Don't you think like everyone is chasing the next great quarterback though? Like, don't you think people are getting a little quarterback greedy? Like, cause I mean, I don't
for
know.
Sure.
Look, I could clearly see, you know, not all four quarterbacks going top 10, but then I think about it and I'm like, man, everyone, like there's so much pressure on franchises and GMs to find the guy. I mean, look, here just locally in Chicago, they just chased away the guy for the next guy with Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. So I don't know. Like, I feel like if the Patriots go anything other than quarterback, right? Like, that's got to be shocking, especially considering they're chasing the next guy after they had the guy for 20 plus years.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots were one of the teams that decided to wait to see how the quarterback dominoes fall. Like, get your blue chip left tackle, and then let's see where we're at in the 20s, where, you know, Bo Nix goes, where Michael Penix Jr. goes, where a guy, Michael Pratt out of Tulane, I think looks like a guy that can play in the NFL and kind of fits as like a prototypical Patriots kind of quarterback. So I think that could be the move there. But to your point, Austin, I don't think it's just that there's pressure to get the quarterback right, but I think that since you've seen guys like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, find success in the NFL, and now we're seeing it with Will Levis and the Titans, like people are willing to take a gamble on guys that have one or two really elite traits. It may not be like the well-rounded, polished prospect that you used to look for out of a quarterback, but if you can get a guy that's kind of traitsy, I think there is pressure to find that guy. And guys like Jaden Daniels in this class and J.J. McCarthy, I do think have some of those traits where you might look on the surface and say, this doesn't look like a top five, top 10 pick to me, but the pressure to get that quarterback and the willingness to take a gamble on a guy that has the traits might be what makes them top five picks.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, which quarterback do you think the Titans are going to trade up for and not grab in the second round this year?
Michael Pratt.
Okay.
Michael All Pratt right. out of Tulane.
All right.
We're doing
it. I was maybe hoping Sam Hartman just because of he's, you know,
hey,
really
he's
good.
Handsome.
Looking.
And the Titans have a history with handsome Hartman. Backup quarterbacks.
That's yeah. true.
Right. We don't look, ignored. It's an annual tradition. You know, I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to it. You know, it's, people look forward to the Masters every April. No, I look forward to what quarterback the Titans are going to trade up for in the second round every year. That is my tradition, unlike any other.
Or they're going to spend a seventh round pick on a guy like Carter Bradley out of South Alabama and then cut him before training camp even starts.
The Cole McDonald.
Do you guys ever
effect.
Wonder what happened to Cole McDonald? Speaking of seventh round draft picks that were cut before training camp.
Man, I loved Cole McDonald.
I miss him.
Cole McDonald.
What do you guys think he's doing right now? Like right now, as
dude,
we
I just
here.
Think he's. I think he's surfing. He's got to be surfing.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Either that, or is that like he's eating an acai bowl at like a at like an outdoor tiki hut,
like a beach shack. Yeah, I totally. Yeah. I think we all agree that he's on the beach somewhere. Yeah. Stoney, you actually, you know, you were one of the first people I saw on Puka Nacua last year in the draft process before Puka Nacua was Puka Nacua. You know, and the Titans are going to be in the market for a wide receiver at some point in this draft. Is there a guy And it may not even be a wide receiver. Who's going to be this year's Puka Nacua that the Titans can wait around for a little while, and then on day three pounce and turn him into an instant impact guy's rookie season?
And Stoney, before you answer, Jack, if you could, just one more time, give us a Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua.
All right, thank you.
You know, I think the thing that I was drawn to about Puka Nacua last cycle was that he was the type of player that it was evident that he kind of wanted to drag you down into a knife fight in the mud. And he was just that scrappy guy that played hard and did whatever it took to make a play, whether it was move the chains, score a touchdown, that sort of thing. And that's what I was really drawn to about him. And I haven't really seen a player in this cycle so far that has made me pound the table and say, no, you guys are wrong. This guy's going to be a stud at the next level. But the closest I've come is Virginia wide receiver Malik Washington. And I think different build. He's a compact, almost built like a running back, slot receiver, hyper productive at Virginia. You can watch his tape and it's like he's the only dude that knows how to play football on that offense. No disrespect meant to the Virginia offense.
It was bad, though.
They didn't have a lot of horses, but he was out there on every play, playing hard, doing multiple things well. Really nuanced wide receiver. I think he's going to be available there on day three. And when you look at kind of the missing pieces of this offense, I think in 2024, you have Calvin Ridley, a guy that you can line up outside that can get separation against cornerbacks. You have the experience, the wily old veteran in DeAndre Hopkins that just knows how to get open, just knows how to work a defensive back to create space. And I think there's room for a wide receiver in the slot, can do a lot of things in motion, out of the backfield, wherever you need him to go, that can make a play, that can get upfield, that offers yak potential. I think Malik Washington is a guy that checks a lot of those boxes and isn't going to require heavy draft capital to get him.
That sounds fun. That sounds good to me. You wait for the fifth round to get a starter?
Yeah.
I'll take it. And you know, the second round is kind of where a lot of these people have the Titans going receiver. After they get their lineman in the first round, their tackle, they're going to circle back at 38 and then take a receiver. And Stoney, one of the cool things about Sobros is it's not just sports, it's everything in Nashville. You're a big foodie. I know you're a big foodie, and I know you've been to just about every restaurant in this city because you've reviewed a handful of them. And I want to know, I want to put you on the spot here. Can you give me some comps, some second round comps to Nashville eateries? Is there anybody in the second round that might be hanging around for the Titans that you could compare to a Nashville restaurant?
Oh man, see, I did the exercise, but I did it with like first rounders.
First round works.
Yeah, okay, let's go first rounders, because first rounders are the ones people will know anyway to begin with. So,
because I've got 10. And I got to the end of it, and I was like, I feel like this is some pretty good material. I feel good about myself.
Okay, we'll get to the second round after it then, but I want to hear first-round restaurant comps.
All right, so let's start with Caleb Williams. I have him compared to Audrey. You know, really high ceiling, probably the best in the class. You're going to get something that's a little fancy, and also only a few teams are going to have access to get him because the capital required to procure him is going to be quite lofty. So I think that eliminates.
You should make sure you're freshly manicured when you go there too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. JC Latham, this isn't a Nashville only institution, but the first thing that came to my mind was Waffle House. JC Latham is Waffle House. Hits really hard on a Saturday night.
All right. That's my guy right there. That's who I want the Titans to pick.
Austin's all over that.
Yeah. Joe Alt is the recession special from Robert's Western World. Fried bologna sandwich, potato chips, and a PBR for $6. Just steady, man. It's reliable throughout time. You know, in 50 years, we're probably still going to be talking about Joe Alt securing blocks and being athletic and pass protection. So I'm
love
with
that.
Olu Fashanu is Butcher and B. I don't think he's talked about enough for how good he really is. You know, Butcher and B ends up on all these best restaurant in Nashville lists, but nobody's like talking. Like when you're out with your buddies at the bar, nobody's talking about how good Butcher and B is. That's kind of the same with Olu Fashanu. Like we acknowledge he's there, but people should be talking about him a little bit more. Roma Dunze is a Hunter Station. You have options, very versatile place, can do a lot of things with it, and no matter what you do, it's going to hit. It's going to be good. Drake May is Hattie B's. Not the best in the group, but people are going to wait in line for it anyway. Marvin Harrison Jr. is Tootsie's. Like, we get it. We get the history. We get the institution that is Tootsie's. But I'm kind of just ready to talk about something else for a little bit.
Like, yeah. Here, here.
Respect, but like, can we talk about some of the other places?
Right, and also, I'm a little discouraged that Tootsie's did not do any pre-draft workouts for anyone, any of the.
Talisi Fuanga is Party Foul. If you catch him on the wrong night, you'll be crapping your pants. Brock Bowers is 5 Points Pizza, clearly the best in class. But what's really the competition?
Wow. Brock Bauer shade.
And then the last one I have, Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia, is Dino's. Might not get the fanfare from the casuals and the tourists, but the real ones know how good it really is.
The dudes who know ball know about Dino's. You're exactly
right. That's right. That's right.
That's pretty great, Stoney.
Stoney Keeley, ladies and gentlemen. Stoney Keeley. Well done, dude. That was phenomenal, honestly. And just goes to show you what was potentially lost last year with the tapes of our draft. All the more reason, I gotta point out, you guys, like, listen, there's so many, like, you can get a lot of draft guides out there. But why would you not want to go and support someone local who is living and working in Nashville, grinding his ass off to get you incredible draft grades of every prospect imaginable? Him and Zach Lyons are doing a phenomenal job. So subscribe to Stacking the Inbox. Is that the best way to go and get the draft guide?
Yeah, stackingtheinbox.com. I don't know if I'm allowed to share its release date, but it'll be out this week at some point. Okay. $5 a month. Perfect. You get all my draft, my draft coverage, all of my scouting reports are up there, film studies. We do cover the Titans 12 months out of the year. So there's, if it's not just draft coverage, you get the coverage of the Titans as well. Zach does a great job with, like, the contract talk, the salary cap. I mean, there's just so much heart and soul goes into the work that we do there that it means a lot to hear you say nice things about it. But yes.
Yeah, no, guys, support them. Like, honestly, go out. And if you are a fan of Titans football and really just football in general, support local, screw the Kuipers and the McShays of the world.
And they're not getting into it 275 players deep either.
No, like,
this is the only place you can find something like this.
This is legitimately, Stoney Keeley is legitimately a dude who, right after we stop recording, he is going to be watching more film on more guys to add to their draft guide. Like, and that's not a joke. Like, he's going to be breaking it down and watching it. So I encourage you guys all to do it. Stoney, I got to ask you, I'm not a draft nerd. Like, I'm not, and I mean nerd in the highest of respects. I am not a draft head. I love the draft. I love to watch the draft, but I don't get into the weeds of it just because, I feel like if I do, I will waste my time because when a guy gets drafted by the Raiders, I'm not going to be following that dude. I follow the Titans through thick and thin. And outside of that, it's all pretty much casual. I take it from a national perspective. I got to ask you, I need a name. Maybe two of someone that no one is talking about, that everyone is sleeping on, that you are the most sure of, like the lesser known of maybe like the first round or maybe even second round that nobody's talking about, but you are like dead set on this is the guy. Because I'll tell you why I'm asking you this. I need a name to throw out. Like, if I attend a draft party, if I'm watching the draft with some folks, I need a name who'd be like, oh, you guys got to watch out for, Dennis Statham, man. He out of LSU, this dude is a badass. Like, you guys need to, and then like, so that way, at least I like sound like I know what I'm talking about. All right. Basically, all right. What I'm asking you is you've done all the homework. Okay. I'm now the jock hitting you up on test day saying like, hey, give me something like that I can say about this book report that I have to deliver on and to where I can pass off. I need the Cliff's Notes version of one, maybe two guys, names that I could throw out there.
Okay, I've got a good one for you, and we're talking like may sneak into the first round, second round kind of window, right? This one, if you don't want to use this one, I get it because it's a tough name. Rook Orororo from Clemson.
You had to give me the hardest name to pronounce.
Mike Keith is going to have an aneurysm in the booth.
That sounds like I'm like doing an impression of like a dog who's like tired, but like too tired to get up.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I call him Rook Orororo because he's a dog.
He's a dog.
Really, really good athletic defensive lineman, smooth mover, has a pretty good pass rush toolkit. My only question with him is like just the outright strength. Watch the tape against Joe Alt, and he was throwing everything that he had against Joe Alt, and Joe Alt was just kind of standing there taking it. But if he's lined up inside over guards and centers, he can wear him down over time. I'm thinking he's not on a lot of people's radars. He's down kind of in the 60s to 80s range on a lot of the big boards that I see. I've got him in the 30s on mine. I really like his potential, and I would love to see him as a complement to Jeffrey Simmons on this Titans defensive line. To give you somebody that you can probably use that I think has a really sneaky good chance of getting into the first round that everybody's looking around at your draft party like, who is this kid? Christian Haynes, the right guard out of UConn. This kid is a pot-bellied behemoth. He is strong, immovable. He's good with his hands. He likes to wrestle guys with his hands, get up there and throw them off balance. He doesn't give up ground. I think he's probably, if you eliminate all of these guys that like played left tackle, but they're going to be guards, and played guard, but they're going to be center, all these guys that are moving around, just this guy played a position. That's what he's going to play in the NFL. It's Christian Haynes at right guard. Like, that dude looks like he was put on this earth to play right guard.
And that's a guy the Titans have met with in a top 30, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I believe they've met with him once. I don't know if it was top 30 or combine. But
you got the drop on me there, but that's exciting. That's tightening my jinkos, if you know what I'm saying.
Hell yeah! Don't take my word for it. I saw it on a list. I'm pretty sure they met with the kid out of UConn. But okay, my last question for you, Stoney, and this is difficult because it feels like that second round range where the Titans are going to be picking in at 38. There's a clump of receivers there that really nobody has a clue on, like who's going to be the first one taken, who's going to be the guy that slides a little bit. And those names are like Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, Roman Wilson. You've got Keon Coleman out of Florida State, who's a big question, one of the biggest question marks, I think, in this draft class. A bunch of the Ladd McConkeys in the mix. Who do you think is the right fit for the Titans in the second round if they do end up going receiver?
I get the hype for Xavier Leggett. I like him quite a bit. I think there's some inconsistencies on tape, but I think he's a guy that has a pretty high ceiling, and obviously he's a guy that fans are going to look at and say, oh, that's the A.J. Brown body type. I think he's, you know, similar, but I don't think he's as explosive as A.J. Brown. The guy I like is actually one that you didn't mention, and that's Ricky Pearsall out of Florida.
Yes, Florida. I'm
a big fan of Pretty Ricky. This guy, he's got leg tats, so you know he's hard.
He's got the RAS.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's played, like, I was so frustrated watching Anthony Richardson last year because the passing offense that Billy Napier called just made me want to slam my head into the table. But if you watch Ricky Pearsall, he has the traits to move outside. That's the big question with him, is like, what are you going to do with a slot receiver at pick 38? But I'm saying, man, you can move him outside. The way he sells his routes with his entire body, vicious head whip, active hands, active feet, can get open off of the release and has underrated speed. He makes like a miracle freak catch in every single game that I watch of his. So I get it's a crowded room, but I would be pounding the table for Ricky Pearsall.
Okay. Love that.
All right.
Slick
guys.
Rick is what they call him down there.
Slick Rick. That's right. Yeah.
Leg tattoos. Look, Stoney. Listen, guys.
See a lot of those Adinos.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's a good point. Yeah. I got to remind everyone, guys, go to stackingtheinbox.com, go and subscribe. And, for very cheap, you can get honestly some incredible draft coverage. And why would you not want to support locals, support the guys that are in and of, you know, the Titans community and that, truly, truly do great work. And I mean that by 80% of that great work coming from Stoney and only about 20% probably coming from Zach Lyons. But no, seriously, Stoney, you're the man, dude. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I know every second that I take up of yours is a second I'm keeping you away from film and a second that's only going to be a second longer to get that draft guide up at stackingtheinbox.com. But so we're gonna let you go. We're going to let you get back to watching film of dudes with dog barks for names and leg tattoos.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Always appreciate you guys. I'm happy to hop on anytime.
One more question for you, Stoney. What's coming up on So Bros?
Ooh, good question. Man,
it's been quiet. It has been quiet this week. Brandon still has a couple of movie reviews up there, and Stephen McCash wrote a really good piece about the most underrated SNL cast members of all time. Ooh, I actually don't know. Like, I am so in on the draft right now. Mm-hmm. I actually don't have. Oh, I got a new Yankee Candle review coming out soon.
Beautiful. I'm in the market.
Majestic Mount Fuji is the fragrance.
Damn. Oh my gosh. Now I'm getting tight in my JNCOs. Is Stoney, can you give me one spoiler? Is Taron Killam on the most underrated SNL cast members list?
Don't believe you know? So. No, not that I recall.
I guess. All right. That to me is a guy who was greatness for a very short amount of time. But we'll save that for our SNL Up podcast.
There we go.
There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
Our thanks again goes out to Stoney Keeley. Guys, follow everything he does at Soap Bros Network. Follow everything he does at Stack in the Inbox. Honestly, I can't get enough of that man. I love him to death. He is truly fantastic. Does a lot of great work with everything he touches. Mm-hmm. And
there isn't a man in Nashville that has the range that Stoney Keeley has. There's not a man in Nashville that has that range. He can talk draft, he can talk restaurants, he can talk movies, he can talk Yankee Candle reviews, for God's
sake. Yankee Candle reviews. Are you kidding me?
SNL, I mean, that's just a glimpse into what So Bros does. They touch it all. Like, anything you could possibly be interested in, you can find it on So Bros. So go check it out.
Yeah, go check it out. Go get touched by So Bros Network. They touch it all.
They got great grip, strength, and girth over there.
Yeah. Very sensual touch, too, even. Very soft touch. I actually kind of like being touched by So Bros.
All right.
What? All right. With all of that said, we go from a Stoney to a stoner.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Jack I'm referring to. I'm talking. What? Sorry.
I could pass a drug test.
Yeah, you could pass a drug test. Sorry, I should have used Buck as my reference. No, what? Stop, Austin. Ryan Stonehouse, if you recall, got injured last year. It's probably the only reason why the Titans didn't make the playoffs last season. One of the greatest punters we've ever seen in our lifetimes. We've had a lot of good punters. You know, people like to say the Tennessee Titans are known for their great running backs throughout history. We have a lot of great punters.
Like, the Titans punters have been so good that we haven't had a lot of them.
Like, that's
Hinchcliffe
lasted
forever. Kern lasted forever. Stonehouse, we thought he would last forever until Craig Aukerman tried to, you know, put a hit out on his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's you're not wrong. It's like Nashville Predators head coaches there for a while, whereas like we just had them. They were good for a long time. And so we had them for years and years. Ryan Stonehouse got injured, and Jack, you were sitting here telling me you've got an update All right, Jack, you were sitting here telling me that you have intel as it pertains to his injury.
Oh, I said I got an update, but I also have intel. So we've got both. This is
this
is killing two birds with one stone house right here.
I thought you said I thought you said not an update. I was and like, see, oh.
That's the downside of not being in the same place when we record. We talk about this all the time.
We do talk about it all the time. One of these days, Jack, we are going to do this podcast from the same room, and it is going to be the best podcast that anyone has ever heard.
I know. We need to move in. Okay, so Paul Karski came out with a story on PK.com, and he kind of provided a little bit of context into what went wrong with Stonehouse's injury. You know, he tore his ACL, he tore his MCL, and he broke a bone in his plant leg. And A to Z sat down with Dr. Let me find his name. I believe it's Dylan Green. Yes, Dr. Dylan Green. Yeah. He's a licensed physical therapist.
In case anyone wants to fit a quick fit of rage, remember, this was on not the first, but the second blocked punt in that game against the Colts. In case anyone was remembering. Go on.
But Dylan Green sat down. Austin Stanley, Sam Phelan sat down with him. I've got a story coming out. Should be out by the time y'all are listening to this podcast on Wednesday. Here's the update. Like, for everyone concerned about Stonehouse, which is everyone who's ever been a Titans fan ever because of his rocket leg, like, it's not as good that he hurt his plant leg as opposed to his kicking leg. Because the plant leg, Austin, that's where you get all your power from, and he's got a lot of power. He's got stoner power, baby. And, there's torque that goes into it. And you need balance, control, all that stuff, and that all comes from your plant leg. So this rehab is going to be much more difficult and intense than it would have been had it been his swinging leg, his kicking leg. But the deal is, this is going to be treated, the timetable is kind of like just a normal ACL tear, which is 9 months, even though he had all that other stuff go on. We're looking at a 9-month timetable, but he had surgery on December 15th. So that means September 15th would be the 9-month period.
Oh, geez.
Maybe a couple days earlier because it was a leap year. But what I think is going to end up happening here, and that's intel you don't get, by the way, leap year intel.
Yeah, people forget it is a leap year, guys. So we're granted another day in his rehab.
Yes. It helps. Leap day works in the Titans' favor this time. So, but the thing is, since he's not going to be back till September 15th at the earliest, he's probably going to start the season on PUP, and when you do start the season on PUP, you've got to miss the first 4 games. And I'm totally fine with that, by the way. Ty Zentner is the punter they have behind him, and he can punt for 4 games. You wait till Stonehouse is really ready to go, and then you bring him back. You don't rush your punter back, especially a franchise punter, if that's such a thing. But
it's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing. And for those that don't know, the PUP list is the punters unable to punt list. Exactly. Is what he will be added to.
Totally right.
Okay. So, well, that timing kind of sucks because that just barely misses opening week.
Yeah. I'm not going to rule anything out with Stonehouse. I mean, he's got the leg of God. So, but I just think that a fair expectation would probably be to start the season on PUP.
That's the first 4 weeks of the season, right?
Yeah, but he can still punt and stuff on the side, of course. I mean, they're not going to make him, they're not going to
not in games. I don't care if he goes to, Brentwood High School's practice field and starts punting. That does mean nothing. I need him punting on fourth downs with the Tennessee Titans. Not that the Titans are going to see many fourth downs this year, because, folks, this offense is going to be roaring.
Real quick, because I couldn't do this until I just looked it up. Can you name the Titans' new special teams coordinator?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, you want me to do it right here on the podcast?
Oh, no, you can wait. You can wait, because I got it.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
right,
you just asked if I can do it, and I can.
All right, how about this? On three, we'll say it at the same time, okay?
All right. Maybe let's do it on 16.
Okay, on 16, we'll say it at the same time, okay.
Okay.
1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, Colt Anderson.
Colt Anderson!
Yes! Yes!
I'm so thankful for high-speed internet. Colt Anderson, who could forget, dude?
That's news to me, to be honest with you. I missed that one, but Colt Anderson, he's on the hot seat already, because if something happens to Stonehouse again, oh boy, it's not going to be good for old Colt Anderson.
I want to know why they fired Craig Aukerman. No,
yeah,
I don't.
Right?
I'm joking. Look, it just goes to show you, look, you cannot screw around for very long in the Titans organization, because you will get the boot. You will get the axe. And I saw not too long ago, remember when that Players Association poll came out about all 32 NFL teams, and every team is graded on a different scales in terms everything from, like, you know, the food at their, you know, at their facilities,
family treatment,
the way, yeah, family treatment, and the Titans, that family treatment I think was their lowest rating, and I think they got an F minus, maybe an F or something. I don't even know you could get an F minus, but they that was like the one really bad blemish on the Titans grading scale. Well, PK, Paul Kaharsky, reported that the Miss Amy went out and hired someone to basically oversee that aspect of the franchise, yeah, and to make that better, which is like an offseason move that no one will talk about, but it just goes to further our point that Amy Adams is a damn driver's ed teacher. And that is so cool to me, because she was like, oh, what's this? I got feedback from our franchise and we suck in this area. All right, I'm hiring someone. I'm going to spend the money it takes to make that part of our franchise better, which is only going to help bringing in free agents. It's only going to help the overall appearance of the Tennessee Titans. I mean, hell, Kansas City Chiefs just went out and won their second Super Bowl in a row, and they're like getting like ripped to shreds for having the worst owner in the NFL, based off of those NFL player reports and promises that were not kept and everything. So it's like the foundation is being laid right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Ansley Moore, by the way, is that person that Amy hired. Ansley Moore, Titans director of player and family affairs. She was an intern at Colorado before Primetime got there. Worked for a sports agency, been with the Raiders the last few years in a couple of different roles, was their family person last year. So she's got experience in this. And I got a buddy who was a GA at Auburn who worked parallel to her. And he believes that this is going to be a great hire for the Titans. So,
oh, that's great. Oh, that's awesome. That's great to hear. Yeah. See, so like that just like goes to show you, like, Amy Adams-Strong is really doing all that she can to make sure that this franchise succeeds. And she is sparing no expense whatsoever. And that's promising. That's encouraging to see. And I think eventually you're going to see the football portion of that catch up, and you're going to see the product on the field deliver. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when Steve Ballmer first took over the Clippers, when Mark Cuban first took over the Mavs, you know, like it took a while. It took a while for those foundations to be laid.
Definitely don't look into their championship history either.
Well, not Steve Ballmer's for sure. Cuban got one.
Cuban did get one. You're right.
Cuban did the other one against LeBron. That was an amazing finals. And look, that's all I'm asking for. All I'm asking for is one, Amy. I don't need six or seven. Just give me one. I'll take one right now.
Okay. Low maintenance. We're low maintenance. Look, we don't need.
We're
it all.
So low maintenance. We
don't
so
need the full pizza. We just want some stuffed crust.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I was on the Titans Coliseum podcast last night, and shout out to those guys. They do fantastic work. We were talking about wide receivers and how, as Titans fans, the bar for wide receivers is so low. If I was a free agent, if I was Brian Callahan or Rand Carthon, and I was trying to recruit free agents to come like they did with Calvin Ridley, I would just say, you don't understand how low the bar is for you to be good here. Like, you don't have to do much and you will be considered one of the greatest of all time in Titans. Yeah,
you want a statue? This is the easiest place to earn a statue as a wide receiver in the NFL.
Right. I mean, like, if you take out A.J. Brown's, 2 years here where he just balled out before he was very quickly traded. The best Titans wide receiver in history is what? Derek Mason? Are you kidding me? Like, that is the one position group where the Titans just cannot get right. And now they've got DeAndre Hopkins, and now they've got Calvin Ridley on either side of the ball from each other. And It's exciting. And, but that's, yeah, that, anyway, that, that's just, I got to thinking about that. Just like Titans, or if you're a free agent wide receiver and you're looking for a new place to stay and you want to never pay for a drink in town ever again, just come to Nashville and do like have a good season and you will get remembered forever.
A singular good season will do it.
That's all. That's all it takes. Our bar is so, so low. All right, we need to get out of here. I follow the podcast at Titan Up Pod on Twitter, at Titan Up Podcast on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for all the support and the love that you guys give us. Hopefully, eventually, next time Jake Robertson puts out one of his lists, we'll be on it. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
That's the goal.
That's the look. That's what we strive for every day. It's what Jack and I are going to strive for every day.
You shoot for the moon. If you miss, you land in the stars.
That's damn. I'm tearing up right now. That is Jack Gentry. You guys can follow him at Jack A. Gentry. He's been writing up a storm for A to Z Sports and writing really good stuff too. Jack, I meant to tell you that I've been reading some of your articles and they've been really good. At Jack A. Gentry.
Hey, read them all. Some of those. If you don't have time to read them, just click them. Just click them.
Just click them. Just click them.
Click them for your boy.
look, we're not like the Stack in the Inbox guys. We're not asking for your $5, okay? We're not asking for you to subscribe to our email newsletter, okay? All we're asking, just give Jack a click.
If you see it, click it.
Just click it. Just click it. You don't even have to read it. Just click it.
You can leave as soon as you want. But
you can leave it. Look. and then Zach and Austin are gonna like pull you aside, like, Jack, you're getting tremendous clicks, but
these people are leaving. Aren't
staying
10
on the page. Yeah, the stick rate, the bounce rate is pretty high on this website. I don't
average read time on your last 11 stories have been 7 seconds. What's going on with that? I don't know,
but the clicks are high. The clicks headline are high.
Must be good.
Sell that to advertisers. So, guys, yeah, at Jack A. Gentry on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter if you want, at Austin Huff. And A to Z Sports, of course, on all the socials, at A to Z Sports. Jack, do you have anything for the road?
No, I really don't. I do not have anything for the road. I will say Zach Mettenberger, back in Nashville, offensive coordinator at Father Ryan. So, if you see the Met show around, tell him to come back on the pod.
Wasn't he an offensive coordinator? Or no, he was an offensive coordinator at Hillsboro or a quarterback's coach at Hillsboro?
I think he did something on the offense with Hillsboro, but then remember, he went down to Alabama and was an assistant under Saban.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then what happened to Saban?
Yeah, so Zach Mettenberger is back in Nashville at Father Ryan.
Oh, man. Also, A to Z Sports going to have some tremendous draft coverage. Make sure you follow along. That's another reason why to follow A to Z Sports. On draft night, going to be going live with some great in-depth. And again, kind of like what we said with Stoney Keeley, support local. And A to Z Sports does a tremendous job of following local and covering local Nashville sports. So why would you go turn to SportsCenter when you know they're not going to talk about the Titans at all? Or anything else. Go to people who dedicate their lives to giving you good coverage, and that is the folks, fine folks at A to Z Sports. All right, Jack, I guess we need to get out of here. Shout out to our Stonies and our Stoners in honor of 420. I know Jack, I mean, sorry, Buck, I mean, sorry, no one, none of us will be celebrating on Saturday.
He's going to have random drug tests the next week after this drops.
I'm going to be high on Saturday, but not because of marijuana. It'll be because of Taylor Swift. I'm going to be smoking that Taylor Swift pack all day once that new album drops on Friday. Let's go.
What is this, the Tortured Poets album?
Yeah, Tortured Poets Society, starring Robin Williams. That's a Dead Poets Society reference. I could tell that joke went right over your head.
Yeah, you knew that was not going to land with me.
I know, yeah, but you gave me the courtesy laugh.
I think you know the difference between my real laugh and my courtesy laugh at this point. Yeah, 400 and what? What are we? 413 in?
Regardless, I do respect the fact that you just laugh anyway because it sounds better on the podcast when you laugh because then it cues the audience to know, he's making a joke.
Stop, we're giving away our tricks here, Austin.
I've worked on a lot of radio shows that did not do that. and instead did the opposite. They would like berate it, and it's like, okay, you don't need to do that. That's that ruins the atmosphere when you do that on a show. I was a really good producer back in the day. Anyway, I guess
that's one where I'm supposed to laugh, right? I'm supposed to laugh.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. That was a perfect time. I guess with all that said, until next week, tighten up.
Tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans.